101.7 The Truth, it's your girl Jazz Tyler. American Family Insurance is a proud sponsor of The Truth. Since 1927, they've been committed to helping families protect what matters most with the right home and auto coverage built around your life. Because when you work hard to build something you want to protect, that works just as hard for you. That peace of mind means you are free to focus on your goals, your family, and the dreams you are chasing. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly with American Family Insurance. American Family Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin. Truth Nation, we are talking grief today. We want to hear from you, 833-212-1017. How do you love someone who is going through something without losing yourself? We have The Town on the line, and he has a question. Thank you so much for tapping in with us today. How are you?
What's going on, Quinn?
Peace. Thank you so much for tapping in. You had a question for us?
Yeah, man. I was talking to dude early because I saw the kids on there. My bad about the noise. I'm at work right now.
It's okay.
The kids are talking, and I wanted to ask them a specific question. Like, okay, y'all, you're supposed to listen to your parents. That's cool. And you probably listen to your uncle or older cousins. But I want to know, do the kids listen to other kids that's their age? Do they listen to their own peers that maybe got more game, more understanding of a situation or whatnot like that? Because I remember when I was younger, when I was younger, you know what I'm saying, I would listen to, you know what I'm saying, some of my peers that was like older, like a year or two older. Or if they had a lot of game, I would listen to somebody that would probably be a year younger than me.
Yeah.
Because the teaching and the game was so evident in them that you could see it. I don't be seeing this with the kids. You know what I'm saying? So I was going back and forth with the producer, with Bro, and he was saying, like, you know what I'm saying, basically the kids don't be trying to hear that. And I understand that because that's part of growing up, like teenage years. You going to be a young adult. You're gonna do things your own way. You know what I'm saying? But one thing that I would put out there for these kids is we have to find a way for these kids to listen to us.
Yes.
Now I don't know what that is outside of your kids. I mean, like I told dude, like, you know, I can make my kid listen to me because I can whoop their ass. But I can't whoop every kid ass. You know what I'm saying? So it gotta be a way that us as the older people are speaking, and it got to be a way that the younger people are listening to really get the message to hit home. You know what I'm saying? Because you got to let these kids know, like, this is serious, bro, because one mistake, it might be your life.
Yes. Yep. You're right. You know? And to your point, I know the young lady, first of all, thank you for that. The Town, you are absolutely right. If I'm not mistaken, Brooklyn, the lady who was sitting to my right, to you guys is left, if you are watching, she did mention that they do speak with their friends and that they should talk to their friends. But I think the issue with this generation versus our generation is a lot of us who grew up in, who was born in the 80s and 70s, grew up in the 90s, we all had a different mind frame. So it was safe to listen to our friends because our friends wanted us to actually do better and not necessarily sit in whatever it is that we're sitting in. Today, as a mother who has a 19-year-old and an 18-year-old, one of the things that I notice is that not necessarily with just my friends, but I'm sorry, my children's friends, but just as an educator and youth in general, is that these children, their friends has a huge influence on them. So much to the point where they don't even listen to what their parents is saying. And it isn't necessarily a positive influence, right? They have people around them who are encouraging them to do the BS that they are doing. Not all, but majority of them do. And then you have some who are put, their backs are in a corner and they're put in a position to where even if they aren't like that, if something pop off, they better show up because if they don't, that's going to be a problem, right? And they don't want that embarrassment of being saying that they wasn't down or they wasn't, you know, down to do whatever it is that's going on. But as far as them listening to our generation oftentimes I have this conversation with my peers, and it all resorts back to, okay, first and foremost, let's take it to the beginning, right? These babies are born 2006 to like 2012, 13, 14. So anytime before 2006, we know that a lot of our brothers and some of our sisters who was a part of the mass incarceration in the 90s did not get out until 2015. That's a generation that's completely X'd out, right? We know who they are, but they have not been around. Then you have our generation, the late 30s, early 40s. We spent our adulthood trying to get our stuff together. We talked about this before, too. Our parents was using our names with our knowledge. We wasn't even focused on a generation behind us because we had watched them. We raised them. We were trying to be young adults and have something and build something for ourselves. And then the generation after them, they ended up pretty much growing. I mean, after us, they ended up pretty much growing up on their own as young adults because we were so worried about trying to establish something for ourselves. So the disconnect between generations isn't just, you know, the young kids. It's like, think about it. When we were 14, 15, 16, 40 years old was old to us. Shoot, 35 was old. Dang, they're 30. I didn't really want to talk to nobody that wasn't under 25, right? And it wasn't that they did anything in particular to make me feel away. It's just that I felt like they were so outdated, that they were, their generation was so far away. So we have to begin to naturally have these conversations where first we have to make the youth feel comfortable to want to talk to us. Because the code has changed. The street code is different. There is no street code with them. With us, it made it easier for what they consider as an old head or unk, or the big homie or the OG, it made it easier for them to be able to come up to us because of the code. We understood, A, that we have to respect our elders. B, that when somebody talking to you, you talk back. That's not the case. A lot of these youth, they don't even, their parents don't respect them, so they don't respect no elders. They don't respect anyone older than them. They don't care about how much work you put in, how much money you used to have, who you was. They don't care about none of that. They are literally the villains, like in their own world. And a lot of them are out here doing whatever they're doing, and they have just as much money, if not more, than the adults. So that's another layer of why do I got to listen to you? I always say and tell people, right? I watch a lot of these artists in the industry, and they do the interviews, and they say, you know, talk about when they didn't have money versus when they do have money, and how the younger guys listen to them now when they have money, and how some people just disagree with it. But if you think about it, right, a person in this generation, their mind frame is, why would I listen to you and look at your life? If it didn't work out for you, they're not thinking how we think, like, I want to listen to you so I don't end up like that. They want to see the person that they want to be like, and they want to get the game from them. They want to get it from somebody that's doing what they doing and understand how they're doing it, right? First and foremost, they don't want to be judged. They want to feel like they are their own independent selves. And then you also have to understand, too, we're dealing with an emotional-ass group of individuals. This new generation is highly emotional. They're emotional about everything. They can't have their way. They get emotional. Someone makes them upset. They don't want to fight. They get emotional. They don't have social skills, right? A lot of them who are the ages that they're at now, when COVID happens, and I know people say this, but I'm telling you, when that happened for those 2 to 3 years and those kids were at home doing homeschool, playing games and on a laptop doing work, they were not outside at a critical age when they needed to be around youth in an environment where they can properly develop. They don't have social skills. They don't know how to talk to people. Not even just in a respectful way. They don't know how to talk to people, period. They don't know how to have conversations. Their mental is not there. They are very intelligent and smart, but in areas that they choose to be. So this is a situation where it's not that we can't expect for them to come to us. So anybody out there that want to deal with the youth or has questions or want, they're not coming to us. They're not. If you get any of them that will, God bless them. But 9 times out of 10, you're going to have to put your pride to the side and you're going to have to meet them halfway. You're going to have to meet them halfway, right? They are dealing with a lot. They are in environments where they're being called out their name at home, where they got to survive on their own. They have to raise their siblings. They're raising themselves. And as someone who grew up in a house as the oldest, my mom had to work and I was watching my siblings. I felt like I was grown too at that age. If I'm helping take care of myself and pay some bills and I'm working, I'm making money, I'm grown. What can you tell me? It wasn't as bad, but that's the reality. That's how these children are. It's nothing you can tell them because they have gone through so many things that adults haven't even gone through. Point in case, my school son, Torian, he was up here. Torian does music. Torian, he got shot at 14. He's been in the detention facility at 16, right? He's experienced things that some adults have never experienced. So some things with the youth, you can't tell them because you ain't never been in their shoes. And that's how they view it. That's their perspective. What can you tell me? First of all, look at your life. Second of all, you ain't even been through what I've been through. And the only way they're going to listen is if you build that rapport to make them feel like they have a safe space, because they don't even have a safe space at home. If their safe space isn't at home, what makes you think that they're going to have a safe space with you? Let's talk about it. 833-212-1017. We got to go to commercial break. Do not touch that dial. 101.7 The Truth. One on 1.7 The Truth. It's your girl Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct at the American Family Insurance Studio in the beautiful heart of downtown Milwaukee. Man, listen, today we were talking about grief. Just to wheel it back in for those who are just joining us. This past weekend, I flew to New Orleans. I am not from New Orleans, but my origin is. My family is from New Orleans. I went down there to visit my sister, Setua Shakur. We had an event with the Tupac Amaru Shakur Foundation. We went to Essence Festival, had some sisterhood time. But at the event, they were talking about healing through arts, and one of the topics was grief. And on my way back home, I seen a numerous amount of situations happening where people throughout the entire city were losing their loved ones in the span of 48 to 72 hours. And we know that this hasn't been, you know, it's nothing new, but I made the analysis and I started researching and looking and seeing that this has happened at such a rapid rate since the beginning of this year. And when we look at the behavior that's being displayed, one of the things that we often talk about is obviously guns and, you know, drugs and alcohol. But the core issue, one of it is grief. And people are literally, we are walking around here grieving, right? We're walking around here grieving. We're not talking about it. We're holding it in so much to the point that all it takes is one moment for somebody to say or do something to us that makes us want to go off the Richter, that makes us want to blow up, right? And we had a real life situation today where Meech seen some young people in the Third Street Market Hall, and we invited them in to have a real conversation. And surprisingly, two of them had lost loved ones 2 months ago. And shout out to Seven, shout out to Brooklyn, shout out to all of them who came and chilled with us. And to see in real time the tears come to her eyes when she started to talk about her father. Like, I promise you, the way God worked, we had no idea. And one of the things she said was, Nia says she isolates herself, and Seven says she just don't talk to anybody, right? Again, real life examples of everyday people in this city who are walking around. We have someone 16, 19, 25, and 27. The exact age group and demographic that we are talking about when it comes to what is happening and who it is impacting, right? These are the people who are walking around every day dealing with this and have not been taught properly how to deal with it, don't have any safe spaces other than the people that they're around. And we come and we criticize and we make jokes and we talk about parenting and all of this other stuff, but these are real life situations. The people who are picking up guns, the people who are doing drugs, the people who are using alcohol, the people who are fighting, they are grieving. They are grieving while healing in the same environment that made them sick. And somehow we think that it's supposed to be different. We have a caller on the line. Al, are you there?
Yes, I am. And I'm going to talk from experience. I don't think some of these people are dumb. I think some of them have given up. Some of them is doing bad dope. But I can recall from a situation when I was helping somebody, and it's very rare I try to do that, and trying to get them on the right track. And everybody who was telling them what not to do came back to me and said, you know what? I used to think you didn't know what you was talking about. But the people in my household said that I was trying to get over. Now, let me remind you, the people sitting in the house popping half pint bottles, collecting checks with them tore up blinds, and they the reason why all their kids is effed up. But the person I was trying to help came back to me and said, I didn't think you knew what you was talking about. But after dealing with life, I said, you know what? This person was telling me everything I needed to know while everybody else was telling me different. And for some of these youth, some of them can do right, but some don't want to do right. They rather listen to their mama. They rather listen to their daddy sitting there with them tow-up cars going down there acting crazy to get a disability check while they sitting up there with that big old jug of water with bleach so they can have some light sitting in the dark like they packing in hoodoo and voodoo. A lot of them don't have to be like that. Yeah. So we got to stop saying that, you know, because they're going through poverty, some of these young people are so smart and so intelligent. Sometimes you have to talk to them in a language they can understand. Not all that Jesus Christ, Billy Bob Thornton came down, he died, though. We don't got time for all that. You got to tell them what they need to know. Nobody care what they want to hear. And it's okay to tell them your house is dysfunctional. It's not right that your daddy sit there and look stupid and wait on a check. All right? And it's okay to tell them you shouldn't have the police at your house 4, 5, 6 times a week because they don't want to get off their black ass and do what they got to do. But then again, you know, when we talk and say stuff, we look like the enemy, but
that's
the ones
right.
who collecting the checks is the one messing up their own kids. And then my thing is this. If you know you didn't want your kids, why did you have them? Why are you quoting Bible verses on Sunday when you bring these kids in this world just so you can sit there and be a piece of floating dookie sitting in a bunch of old urine in the toilet? If you didn't want them, you shouldn't have had them, because that's free will. And birth control, you can go get that for free. Plan B is only $49 on sale. And if you talk to one of them seasoned ones, they'll tell you what
Absolutely.
To do with the jar of Vaseline. So we got to start sitting here saying, well, this and this. So I'm going to get off the phone because I don't want to talk too much. Bye.
Thank you, Al. Thank you so much. Shout out to the chat. My D said, Jazzy, glad you made it back safe from that fishbowl. Listen, we're going to get into it after this break coming up soon. He also said black people has to learn the hard way, refusing to show these kids a better way. And to Al's point, right, because I was going to say that, like, a lot of youth can do better. But when you begin to make an analysis on their living situation, it's you against what's normal to them. I've been in situations, not even just with youth, but grown adults, where I try to show them that the way that they grew up, their family and their loved ones, what they're around is not normal. But guess what? It's too late. It's too late because it's their normal. That, as crazy as it sounds, that's their safe space because they know what to deal with. It's okay because they know how to deal with it. They don't know how to deal with someone else who is dysfunctional because it's not, it's like organized mess. You ever had laundry day where you just didn't feel, I don't know about y'all, but I hate laundry. I hate doing laundry, right? I will wash the mess out some clothes and dry, but I hate folding them, right? And then I would have baskets. I used to have baskets when I was younger of clothes, and then I try to pick through it, and like I didn't know where this was at, but I'm sorry, I have it this here and there, but I knew where everything was at. Organized chaos. That's what they're used to. They're used to organized chaos. They're used to their household being chaotic, but it's in a way that they understand. It's in a way that that's comfortable to them because that's all they know. So when you try to combat that, and then again, we're talking the black household. It doesn't matter, especially with young black men. It does not matter. A lot of times it doesn't matter what's happening with their parents, especially their mother, if they're in a single family household. Don't nobody word comes above the black woman's. It don't matter how the mother treat them. You will find that a lot of young black men, even if they know they're being mistreated, they will never, ever stand up or go against their mother. Ever. So we have to find ways to connect with them and get them to unlearn so that they can relearn, right? They have to unlearn and relearn. But first, we have to figure out ways to create that safe space and that environment to get them to that point to where they can open up. A lot of things that they face, too, is we all faced it. They're scared to tell people what's happening. It could cost them something at home. They know that they have friends who then went and told their business. They have trust issues. They're at home. Some of them are being molested. Some of them are going through things where they just don't trust people. Where they put their trust in someone and they let them down. So it's going to be hard for them to want to trust a stranger, right? Mind you, they are living, a lot of them are already living adult lives. A lot of them are already living a life that a grown person is living. They have already been through things that adults have been through. So their mind frame is a little bit different, but I'm not making excuses because a lot of them do know right from wrong. But at the end of the day, again, to Al's point too, a lot of people have simply given up. A lot of people have simply given up hope. And to be honest with you, living in a state like this, as a black woman, as a black man, it's not hard. It's not hard. If I was 17, if I was 14, 15, 16, 17, even all the way up to 19, in this day and age, I dang near will want to give up too. Because what do they have to look forward to? Please, somebody tell me. What do they have to look forward to? What have we built here to make them say, I want to live here. I want to be a part of this community. They're isolated. Everything that happens in this city is blamed on them. And then as a result, they run around the way that they run around. Dealing with grief, dealing with everything that they're dealing with, right? We just have to try a different approach, man. We have to try a different approach. We got to go to break. Do not touch that dial, 101.7 The Truth. Get it. 101.7 The Truth, it's your girl Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct at the American Family Insurance Studio in the beautiful heart of downtown Milwaukee at UW Milwaukee. Students don't have to wait until college to start building their future. Roar Ready lets students in K through 12th grade join in hands-on programs across campus, from science and tech to art, sports, and more. Students try new things, meet new people, and build skills that matters. Get started today at uwm.edu/roarready. Truth Nation, shout out to the chat and all the listeners. Listen, Madi, Jasmine West, y'all a little late today. I got a bone to pick with y'all. Y'all about a good hour late now. Y'all know this come on now. Y'all know the check-in time.
You know how they do. Jazz gonna get up out of here real fast.
They late, Meech. They supposed to tap in about the 4:05, 4:35. It's all good. It's Monday. We understand. We had some great conversations today around the city, the state that the city is in, when it pertains to grief and why people are, what they're dealing with and how they're dealing with it and why we're in the state that we're in. Meech managed to actually bring some special guests in unexpectedly, right? They were out in the Third Street Market Hall, and we got a chance to talk to real people in real time, real citizens in the city of Milwaukee who are actually dealing with these things. So that was amazing. But I want to bring it back to the beginning of the conversation. Before I jump into that, I do want to end with this, right? As someone who has been through things when it comes to grief, not just losing people, but losing situations, moving on from people who are still here, those who may be going through it, I want you to know that it's not okay. Whatever happened to you is not okay. It's not going to be okay. And if anybody tells you that, they're lying. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. Some days you're going to feel like talking to people. Some days you aren't. Some days you're going to have memories, and that's good. Some days it'll be bad memories. But at the end of the day, you can only do what you can do. You have to take it one day at a time. Whatever it is you can give for that day, give it. And whatever you can't, who don't understand it, they don't need to be around you, right? Make sure you have your support system in place, not just people who pop up when something's wrong, but begin to analyze the people around you. Begin to analyze your life to make sure you have the correct support. Take time for yourself. Take time to sit in what you're dealing with. And most importantly, pray. Shout out to Jasmine West. She said, everything that's being said, I've seen it throughout my school bus driving career. Now I drive kids and teens in the foster care system. I learn how to talk to them all, males and females. Yes, communicating with them is the key. Shout out to Jasmine, man. We a little salty. Y'all tapped in late today. It's all good. We still love y'all. Marty said, I apologize, Jazzy, for being. I'm in high demand. Time moving too fast. Turned 56 on the 4th of July. Happy birthday. Happy belated birthday, Marty. Happy belated birthday. We're going to have to play a birthday song for you. But going back to the beginning of the show, I was sharing my trip in New Orleans this past weekend. For those who are just now listening, I took a trip, y'all. I'm not from New Orleans, but my origin is. My grandfather is a French Creole man by the name of Saint Elmo Dugas, and he is from New Orleans. We have family from Baton Rouge and Jackson, Louisiana as well. So I was extremely excited to go down there and see people who look just like me, people who look like my family. But most importantly, I went to visit my sister, Setchwa Shakur, and she invited me. We had a bar, spent the day, first day in the pool with drinks with the ladies, having great conversations. After we had an event at the Ashe Art Center around dealing with health, mental health, and navigating that through the arts. And then we went to Essence Festival the weekend, right? Set ended up talking to Yo-Yo. Brandy brought out Yo-Yo and MC Light for her tribute. Shout out to Aisha and Zynga. We ended up going to catch Brandy and Monica and Babyface. And listen, it was a time. As much as I enjoy Essence Fest, I'll get into that, the concert, baby. That food was off the chain. So much to where I had to get the recipes, the crawfish cornbread and the char-grilled oysters with the Parmesan cheese and the fried oyster shrimp po' boy. Man, listen, if you want to have a good time, all you got to do is go to New Orleans and go eat. I've heard about it all my life, but baby, let me tell you. Oh my gosh, I've never had food that felt like somebody's soul was in the food. And I like to say it because of the culture of New Orleans, but that's exactly what it felt like. It felt like whoever was cooking put a little bit of soul, their soul, in that food, baby. It was made with love. You better believe it. It was made with love. But this concert, man, listen, I've seen the blogs. I've seen comments. I've seen all of that about Cardi B performance and Latto performance and all of that. To me, from the concert I went to, the best show was Babyface. Babyface got off, okay? First of all, he was popping his ish because nobody got more hits than him, all right? We talking not just singing, but writing. Because a lot of these songs, I didn't even know he wrote. And that man looked good. He don't got no plastic surgery or nothing. That man, Uncle Kenny, looked good. He was up there moving like a young man. Gyrating all over the stage, back and forth, putting on a show. Man, Brandy and Monica, love them to death. But I'm telling you, if they do another 3 to 4 hour concert, I'm not going. Auntie was tired, okay? I was tired. We started all the way. Here we are face to face. Now we all the way. And by the time the second hour came, it was, first of all, I started off like a versus. So it was, they started with the Boy Is Mine song. Then Brandy did a song. Monica did a song. Brandy did a song. Monica did a song. Back and forth, back and forth. And I hadn't realized how many hits and songs that they have. Remind you, the show was amazing. But we didn't get out of here until about 2 in the morning. Okay? They didn't come on stage until 11:45. The concert started at 11:45 and did not end until 2 in the morning of just Brandy and Monica. Like, it was long. It was extremely long. But I absolutely loved it. I enjoyed it. I love seeing the new aunties get up there and do their thing. And yeah, it was a great experience. Have to go back. Madi says, did you eat some gator? No, absolutely not. I will never in my life eat gator. I think I had gator maybe once. But listen, some things you just can't try. Because what? We ain't got no business eating no gator. What is we even eating gator for? Like, what? Please, somebody tell me, what is the purpose? What is the purpose? I'm sorry, Madi. I love food and culture, but that ain't my thing. That's not my thing. I can't mess with no gator. Not at all. No, I stick to what I know. The oysters, you know, the seafood, all of that good stuff, man. Salmon. Yeah, listen. Anytime I go back down there, other than the sea set, it's going to be to eat. I'm trying to tell y'all. I'm a little big person. I had the opportunity of going on Canal Street. That was beautiful. I did not realize how the tropical environment that it had. But I'm eager to go back. I'm eager to go back to visit my family. I'm eager to go back to see where my grandfather grew up and to really, really get in the roots of my family and where we come from. So overall, New Orleans don't owe me nothing. I had an amazing time with people I love. I got a chance to reset and take some time to breathe and just reflect and dive into my sisterhood with the family. And I truly, truly enjoyed myself. Truly enjoyed myself. Marty said gator is a bottom feeder. Absolutely. I don't mess with catfish. I don't mess with gator. I don't do none of that. I'm dang near about to give up shrimp too and crab legs. But then I'm going to have to go ahead and give it up.
So what you going to eat?
I knew you was going to say something, Meech. I can do salmon and, you know, perch. I don't want to do bottom feeders because they eat everything. Like, why would you want to eat something that eat everything? It's like.
You eat pork now?
No, I don't eat pork, but I have a confession. Oh, baby, I had some pork bacon this weekend and it was so good. Oh my gosh. I ain't had no pork bacon in a long time. That pig was off the chain. Whoever cut that pig up did a great job. did an amazing job. We got to go to break. Do not touch that dial. 101.7 The Truth. It's your girl Jazz Tyler. Listen, the chat. Oh, y'all late today, but it's cracking. Marty said, Jazzy, stop eating that swine. Listen, I only had it one time. I don't eat pork, but it was so hot down there. Okay, first of all, let me tell you something. I've been to Florida. I've been to Arizona. I've been to a lot of cities. And I know that a lot of cities got water bugs, but nobody prepped me for these cockroaches that New Orleans got. All right? Them cockroaches is bigger than Texas, okay? I was not prepared. And the mosquitoes, they just ran through me like I was just a tramp. My body is ate up. As much fun as I had, I am paying for it. But to your point, Marty, it was so hot. It was hot. And I needed something to put on my stomach until my food came. So I just ordered some fruit and some bacon. I feel like I kind of balanced it out. I had more fruit than bacon. But the bacon was good. The food was good. Tomorrow, we have Katina Shaw, the vice president of community relations for the Milwaukee Brewers. We will be interviewing her tomorrow. I met Katina, the first time I met her and seen her was about 2 years ago when I did a women in sports panel at the gathering downtown, the gathering spot or the gathering downtown Milwaukee. And then recently when we took our students on, shout out to Videl Hill, Videl invited us to take our youth, the students at Howard Fuller, to an event with the Brewers, private event with some of the players, got to meet them and just got to see what she does at a higher level. And I was just so amazed with her. As someone who has done sports, who did events, community events for a lot of athletes and entertainers, I know, like, it's one thing to do it on that level. It's another thing to do it for 18 years and work your way up as a Black woman who is a vice president in an organization like that. And, again, I'm excited to sit down with her and really get some conversations going, especially for those who may be interested in fields like this and positions like this, and to figure out how we can bring our expertise and take where we come from and merge that with something as big as a Brewers Foundation. And speaking of the Brewers, they've been getting off, okay? Well, all of this stuff happening with the Bucks, the Brewers has not let us down, baby. I don't know if you watch football, but they be getting it on, and they really, really making us proud right now. What? What's the problem, Z? I can't hear you. What's wrong?
You said football.
I said Brewers.
I know, but then you said you don't know if they people
watch
football.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know if you watch baseball. Thank you, Z.
I'm like,
thank
what you. Football got to do with the Brewers?
I don't know if you watch baseball, but the Brewers have been making us look good. So maybe we should start putting more support into that, right? But make sure y'all tap in tomorrow as we sit down with Katina Shaw. Madi says in the chat, flying roaches in the south, mosquitoes hit different. Listen, I was not prepared. I don't like bugs. They was talking about me saying I was acting light-skinned and all of this other nonsense. No, I just don't like bugs. It's not normal for a cockroach to be flying outside that big. That makes absolutely no sense to me whatsoever. I would never in my life be okay with any situation like that, all right? No mosquitoes, no water bugs, no gator, eating gator, none of that, all right? None of that whatsoever. I don't want to deal with that. He said, we know what you mean, Jazzy. Giannis is gone. Yeah, Giannis is gone. Yes, yes, he is. I seen Giannis put out a statement today, too. Bobby Portis just put his statement out as well. But Giannis said that no matter where he goes, Milwaukee will always be his home and we will always be his family. And you know what? I truly feel like that. I do believe that. I believe that certain players, no matter when they move on, they'll always, their imprint in this city is so impactful that they'll always have a home here, right? I don't know how many often come back, but I think we've had players like that before. The Ray Allens, the Big Dogs, the Tim Thomases, different people who really, really rock with the city, the Brandon Jennings, you know? So I still would love to see Giannis come back and you know, visit and all of that. Bobby Portis, I mean, he was here for 6 years, but I don't know. I don't dislike him. I don't know. BP different. He different. He ain't really like, to me, it wasn't like, it was more so Jay Holiday. That's, to me, that didn't make sense, and that, I felt the way about that. But, yeah, until we can get who we can get, Brewers, we need to put more energy into them because they getting it in. I'm telling you, they getting it in. I know football season is about to start back up too, but right now, we're going to baseball this thing out. You feel me? I hope that you all had an amazing weekend. I hope that you got some good barbecue in your system. I know some of y'all was over there with y'all family drinking and playing spades and dominoes and having a ball, right? And as we continue to enjoy ourselves this summer because of the things that's been happening, especially with accidents, I ask that you drink responsibly, that you indulge responsibly. Please do not drink and drive. And please do not let your friends, family, or anyone you love leave wherever y'all at under the influence, knowing that they ain't got no business driving. All right? It's a lot of people out here losing loved ones in their lives because of this. So please, again, make sure y'all partying safely, man. The summer's almost coming to an end. It's almost coming to an end that fast. Quick as it come, as quick as it go. But yes, as we continue this summer, man, let's have a real life safe summer, you know, not just with the youth, but adults too. Let's make sure we're all playing our part, you know, we're all doing
enough with the fireworks, Milwaukee.
Please listen, let me tell you something, okay? First of all, I feel so bad for the veterans because I'm not even a veteran. I got PTSD though. I think all black people got PTSD. I think it's safe to say. But the veterans, no one thinks about that when they're popping these fireworks. It can send them into mental psychosis. Like, is that also?
I think that's what happened to that one officer.
I was just going to say that. Like, I don't know the entire situation, but popping fireworks isn't the safe thing either. And if you live on a block or in a neighborhood where the houses are so close together, please don't pop them.
They overdid it this year. I mean, it's cool to have a few, you know, but it seemed like it was just overdid. Like, they had too, like, it was too many. Like, it's not enforced that we not supposed to have actual fireworks in Milwaukee, but, it, you know.
I think
it's just overdone, just me.
It was overdone, and it was being inconsiderate, too, because the amount of it, like, I know for me growing up, we all used to come together collectively on the block and pop them together. Ain't nobody popping them separate in their house, in their yards. We all doing it. Bring all your fireworks together. Let's do it together. And then once it's done, that's it. Now they're just doing it.
Some blocks was cut off. You know, you trying to go down the block. It's number of fireworks. They got the whole block cut off. But I just think of the amount of fireworks people have this year versus the previous years. It's just been just overdid.
Way too much. Way too much. And then it's like, I guess we got to pick our battles, because are they going to try to stop the fireworks or are they going to try to stop crime? I don't know. But next year, please, not even next year, because they still popping them. They still popping them. We don't want to hear no more fireworks. I don't, for sure. Please, y'all, stop popping these fireworks, man. It's not safe. It's annoying. Y'all doing too much. I'm tired of it. Don't want to hear it no more. Listen, before we get out of here, I got a shout out to my homeboy Wavy Boy. Next week, July 17th, we will be at The Rave, hosted by yours truly. featuring special guest Wyclef and Pleasure P, turn it up for Wavy Boy's birthday party. MJ will be in the building performing as well. We want to see y'all there.
So you hosting?
Yes, I am. Yeah.
I mean, you just rolled over that. Come on now.
Well, initially Kelly Kells was hosting, but she ended up getting booked for a show. I don't mind being a fill-in. I think this is going to be an amazing show, especially after that versus seeing Pleasure P, a Friday. Yep, that versus. So it's going down next Friday. Shout out to the whole team, E2 Wavy Boy. You are now listening to Pretty Woman by MJ. Truth Nation, make sure y'all stay right, stay tight, and stay light. Stay safe. Get some water. Tap in tomorrow, 101.7 The Truth. Pretty woman. Oh, yeah. I need you for show. Oh, yeah. I got a late night plan. Oh, yeah. And it's something you can't ignore. Leave you wanting more. Hey, yeah. Pretty woman. Oh, I want you the most. Hey, pretty woman. I make them crazy. Have them beating down my door. Yeah. I know you ain't met a real one like me. Just go with the flow. Close.
Finish that whiskey, man.
So put your number in my phone, lock in, and let's go explore.